Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Karen Forrester and Microsoft Group Policy MVP and CTO and founder of SDM Software, Darren Marlia, join us for today's show as they discuss what's new in Group Policy for Windows Server 2012. Tune in as they discuss Darren's review of what's new and what's important in GP, such as improved troubleshooting, remote group policy updates, infrastructure status, and much, much more. Karen, the mic is yours.
Hi, I'm Karen Forrester. I'm a director at Microsoft, and I've created a new blog where I'm asking customers to give us their reviews of Microsoft products. We really want to hear what you think about our products, and it doesn't have to be our newest generation of products. It can be our earlier versions, but today we have Darren Marlia with us, who I've known for a long time, and Darren is an expert and an MVP on group policy, and he's written a blog for the Customer Reviews blog on group policy. Good morning, Darren. Can you introduce yourself?
Good morning, Karen. Hi. Yeah, I'm Darren Marlia. I'm CTO and founder of a company called SDM Software. We do group policy management solutions, not surprisingly, and I'm also a group policy MVP for the last 8 years or so, and I have a website called gpoguy.com that's been around for a while, and I do lots of tips and tricks and tools, free tools for group policy stuff. So I'm living and breathing group policy on a daily basis.
Hey, Darren, so you wrote a really nice review of policy, and you talked about some of the new features in Windows Server 2012. Can you kind of talk a little bit about what you think is important about group policy in 2012?
Yeah, I kind of view this version as, I guess I'll call it the fit and finish version for group policy. There was a lot of nice improvements that were made to the tooling within group policy. So things like in GPMC now you can do things like trigger a group policy refresh by right-clicking on an OU. So you can, all the machines in that OU will get a group policy refresh pushed to them, which before you had to rely on third-party tools to do or fancy scripting, and now it's right there in the GUI. So other troubleshooting assistance, the result and set of policy or group policy results reporting has been made more robust to give you more kind of hints as to where there might be group policy processing problems. And then the really nice feature, I was actually just talking, I have a mailing list on my gpoguy.com site that it goes out to, it's like a listserv that's got about 1,500 people on it, and somebody was just asking about GPO replication status. And the new version of GPMC in Windows Server 2012 has a tool that lets you better assess GPO replication status as compared to the old GPO tool command line utility. So those are the kind of fit and finish things that I think they've done a great job of adding to make, you know, managing group policy environments a little easier. And of course, there's a bunch of new settings that support the features that are in Server 2012 and Windows 8 that have been added as settings in the environment. So all in all, I think it was a pretty good, I think I mentioned in my customer review, it was a nice evolutionary step rather than anything revolutionary, but nonetheless, good stuff.
So if you had to pick a favorite new GP feature, what would it be?
I think it's actually the result and set of policy reporting. So they really did some work around exposing the kinds of things that would go wrong in a group policy processing environment. And that's been something, you know, I've actually written some utilities myself to try to get more information like that in the past on earlier versions of Windows. And so I think that's that it's nice to see that that's now in the box and you get some of that data from GPMC.
Do you think that as an MVP and an expert on group policy that you've been able to kind of influence the direction that Microsoft is going?
I mean, yeah, we have great discussions with the product teams during the MVP summits. They've always been really responsive, and you know, some of these troubleshooting features that are in Windows 8 are I think, a direct result of some conversations that the group policy MVPs had with the product team in the past. So I think it's all good stuff, and I think that we've definitely been able to make some changes. I'd love to see big changes coming in the future. We'll see how that goes.
So you have a product that actually works with group policy on Windows Server, correct?
Yeah, we actually have a number of products. We have some reporting products that do group policy reporting. And what's one of our more interesting products is actually something that I've had lots of conversations with folks about is an automation product. We actually expose group policy settings changes through PowerShell. So something that you don't get in the Microsoft group policy module, but with ours, you can actually automate changes to group policy preferences settings, admin templates, security, et cetera. So, you know, I'm a big proponent, A, of group policy, obviously, but also B, of PowerShell and the power of PowerShell. So actually all of our products include both a GUI interface and a PowerShell interface, which is nice.
Yeah, that is important. Sorry.
You know, what's one of the things that I'm kind of excited about, we're actually getting ready to introduce in conjunction with Windows 8 being released, is a version of our exporter product that will be free, that will provide a set of canned reports for customers to use to assess things like slow boot or slow logon attributed to group policy. So there's certain design decisions that you can make in group policy that have an impact on, you know, boot performance or logon performance for users. And we're actually working on a version of the exporter that's out very shortly that will support a whole set of these free reports for customers looking to evaluate their environment. So I'm pretty excited about that.
So Darren, you mentioned that you deal with some issues that people have by the way they design group policy that can affect their boot time. What are some of those decisions that people make that they might cause problems with?
Right. So it's a really interesting, actually. There's a set of a whole kind of set of things that when you're designing GPOs, you want to consider. I've written a couple articles about this in the past. One that's on TechNet around group policy performance, and another one on Windows IT Pro Magazine just more recently in the last month on best practices for group policy design. But some of those issues are things like, so certain group policy client-side extensions require what's called a synchronous processing cycle in order to do their thing. An example of that that's pretty common is group policy preferences drive mappings. So if you have drive mappings in a GPO, anytime that drive mapping has to refresh, it's going to force a synchronous foreground processing cycle. What that means is that the user doesn't see their desktop until group policy processing has completed. So how you place those drive mappings, in which GPOs you place them, will actually impact whether that synchronous, that forcing of synchronous processing will happen or not. So that's one area where certain synchronous policy extensions can impact how long it takes for the user to see their desktop. Other areas are things like if you're using group policy preferences, there's a lot of what's called item level targeting filtering that you can do, and certain kinds of filters are more expensive from a processing perspective than others. So you might do an LDAP search as part of a filter, and that's going to be, relative to other things that you can do, pretty expensive in terms of time taken. So those are the kinds of things that we report on in those free reports that I mentioned, that those kinds of design decisions you can make when you're trying to troubleshoot long logons or long startups.
Seems like that would be really helpful information for people to have when they're designing their group policy.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of folks don't even think about this kind of thing. They just really, you know, I mean, most group policy grows up organically over time. We have a lot of customers that come to us saying, you know, we've got a bazillion GPOs and we need to clean them up. And how do we even make sense of them all? And that's a lot of what we try to do with our tools, is to help people get visibility into that. So, you know, and it's knowledge that has grown up over time. So you wouldn't have gotten that guidance 5 years ago from anyone you were talking to, but you've, you know, probably had group policies in your environment for at least that long. So,
sure. So if somebody's in that situation where they just feel like things organically have gotten kind of crazy, where do you recommend that they start looking?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the way that we approach it and the way that I've approached it with folks is, you sort of have to assess where you're at first. So get an inventory of what you have. Figure out where you want to be. So what is your normalized, optimized state for group policy. In other words, what settings do you need to deliver, when do you need to deliver them, and then use that as a template for essentially migrating to something more optimized. Now, it's not necessarily, you know, depending on the size of the environment, that those statements I just made could be simple or really hard. And that's, you know, some of the things that we've helped customers with in the past is trying to get to that. We see a lot of multiple domains collapsing into a single domain, and how do I make sense of all these policies coming from multiple domains? And it's a process, and it's not always an easy process. But I think, you know, if folks want to check out that article I wrote on Windows IoT Pro, I tried to put in there a lot of sort of best practice ideas around group policy design that can help sort of simplify the process.
Great. We'll provide a link to that article in the description of this TechNet radio session. Great. Thank you. So I don't know if there is such a thing as somebody who's just starting fresh with group policy, but if there were, what would be your advice to them?
Yeah, I mean, I've evolved my thinking about group policy over the years, and part of the reason for that is when you first look at group policy, you get excited about all that you can do with it. And sometimes that's the trap, because there's so much complexity in group policy that you sort of have to keep it simple at first. And to just really get a handle on it, I recommend very highly to keep it simple. To do, you know, let business requirements, security requirements drive what policy you implement, rather than, you know, looking at the long list of thousands of settings and saying, oh, that one looks pretty cool, I think I'll implement that one. You know, and it sounds kind of flip, but it's, you know, I've done that in the past, and I've learned from it. So I think that the key for somebody starting out is keep it simple. You know, there's a few recommendations I put in my best practices guides, but, you know, link the GPOs as close to the targets as possible. Don't have everything linked at the domain level, because it becomes hard to undo that over time. You know, just focus on those minimum sets of policies that you need to secure your environment, to give you the lockdown that you need for your users and their desktops. And that's really a good place to start.
That sounds like it makes a lot of sense. So is there one thing that you see as the most common mistake people make with group policy?
I think that the concept that people sort of have a hard time with is targeting a policy. So this notion that if you have computer settings, they can only be processed by computer objects in AD. If you have user settings, they can only be processed by user objects. And part of the reason this gets complicated is because you have all this. So you have linking, which is one way of targeting policy. You have security group filtering, which is yet another more granular way. You now have item level targeting in group policy preferences, which is yet more granular. And then you have this thing called loopback processing, which folks will use in remote desktop server environments or, you know, Citrix environments. And loopback processing kind of throws it all up in the air and makes it confusing again. So there's the targeting aspects of it are the things that are I see time and again that people struggle with. And then just, you know, understanding a particular policy area and how it behaves with respect to the operating system. So pick any policy area, you might enable it and it does something completely different from what you expect. You have to sort of test as you go with a lot of this stuff.
That's, I think, really important, is that what I hear constantly is that people have sort of unexpected results from their group policies.
Oh, my gosh. and, you know, I mean, I've seen every manner of disaster resulting from group policy. You know, people accidentally forgetting to put a security filter on a GPO that's linked at the domain, and suddenly, you know, 1,000 users are locked out of their desktops when they come in the morning. So there's all kinds of fun stuff you can get into. And so testing changes to GPOs and you know, it's not altogether simple, but it is something you have to do and something you really need to kind of focus on and have a really kind of organized change process around.
That makes a lot of sense, Darren. Well, I think this has been really valuable information for anybody who's interested in group policy and who isn't. And I really appreciate you taking time to write a customer review, because I think hearing from one of your peers is probably the best way you can find out about a product that there is.
No, I agree. I think I encourage everyone to get out there and write reviews on the Server 2012 or even the earlier stuff. I mean, I think it is it's a great resource, and it's a great opportunity for folks to read about what others are doing that are in the trenches with this technology.
I really appreciate it, Darren. Thank you very much. Do you have any last words of wisdom before we sign off here?
Yeah, just go forth and make your group policy simpler.
That is very wise. Thank you very much. This has been Karen Forster, and I'm talking with Darren Marelia, the GPO guy.